to do whatever he wants. So you're restricting his power. So yes, you're saying that they work in harmony, but now each one's qudra, each one's power is restricted. So they're no longer qadir, they're no longer capable of doing whatever they want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, such that there's no partner to him, so there's no chaos, and also he is qadir in the sense that he is able to do whatever he wants, he can implement anything he wants, and there's no one to stop Allah ta'ala, there's no restriction to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to mention the difference between Ahad and Wahid, one difference that some of the scholars have mentioned is that Ahad was an older word. It was used much before the word Wahid was coined. So this is very interesting. If you look in the Quran, when the people of the book, the Jews, the Christians, they came and said, "Ansib lana Rabbak." O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can you describe for us the lineage of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Allah ta'ala revealed the verses, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. Say that Allah is one. Allah didn't say قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَاحِد. He said أَحَد. Because أَحَد was a word that was used previously, even in the previous scriptures. So even in the Torah and the Injil, they were familiar with the word أَحَد. But they were not necessarily familiar with the word Wahid. So Allah chose the word that would be most munasab, most befitting to them, so that they could also relate that yes, Allah is Ahad. We know this from our own scriptures as well. So that's one difference some of the scholars have mentioned, that Ahad is a older word than Wahid, but both of them mean practically the same. Another difference that the scholars have mentioned is that Ahad is munfaridun ani dhat, and wahid is munfaridun ani sifat. That ahad is in reference to Allah being one in terms of number. Meaning there's no Allah 2, Allah 3, Allah 4. For example, in this room you could have multiple individuals who have the name Musa. Say you had 5 people who all have the name Musa. You'd say there's 5 Musas over here. In terms of number, counting, you say Musa 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 Musas in the room. But when it comes to Allah Ta'ala, He is Ahad in the sense that in terms of number, He is only one. There's no Allah 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's only Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, one Allah Ta'ala. And Wahid is more in terms of the sifat of Allah, more in terms of La Mithla Lahu, there is no one similar to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. For example, you could have 5 individuals in the room who have different names. Say you have Musa, you have Shu'aib, you have Nuh, you have Hud, you have Lut. 5 different individuals, but they all have the same personality. They all have the same character, the same mannerisms. So they're very, very similar. They're 5 different people. It's not 5 Musas, 5 unique individuals, but they all have very similar personalities, very similar qualities. When it comes to Allah Ta'ala, He is wahid in the sense that لا مثل ولا نظير له. There is no one similar to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Ahad, in terms of His that, in terms of His being, He is one. And wahid, in terms of His qualities, His abilities, His capabilities, there is no one similar to Him. He is the only one. So if you want to put this simply, you can say Ahad is the one, right? One, and Wahid is the only. No one similar to him. Ahad, in terms of number, he's the only one. And Wahid, in terms of characteristics, capabilities, abilities, there's no one similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's one, you know, incident which comes to mind, and inshallah I'll mention this, and I'll bring it to a close. Bilal radiallahu anhu, you can't speak about Ahad without mentioning the story of Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu, the muaddin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imam al-muaddinin ila yawm al-qiyamah, the imam of all the other muaddins who will come till the day of judgment. Bilal radiallahu anhu, during the early days in Mecca Mukarrama, his master, who was a slave, his master Umayyah bin Khalaf used to punish him, used to beat him because he had accepted Islam, and Umayyah bin Khalaf was an arch enemy of Islam. So, from amongst the punishments that he would give him, is that you would place him on the hot, burning sand of Mecca. If you visited Mecca Mukarramah in the summer, you know how extremely hot it is. You're talking about 110, 120 degrees Fahrenheit. And people today go, many of them get heat strokes because of that heat. So hot, so hot, so hot. It's dangerous to be exposed to that sun. Right? Even if you try and step, take off your chappals, you take off your slippers, step on the ground, your feet will burn. That's how hot it is. So Umayyah bin Khalaf, he would place Bilal radiallahu anhu on the burning sun, on the burning sand of Mecca. It's so hot, so his entire back would burn up. And then he would bring heavy rocks, heavy boulders, and he would place them on the chest of Bilal radiallahu anhu. And then he would order somebody to take Bilal, take his arms, take his hands, and drag him around. So the ground is boiling hot, his back is on the ground, and then he can't move either because he has these rocks, these boulders on his chest. And now he's being dragged through. And what was it being said to him? All that was being said to him is, just disbelieve in the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we will let you go. That's it. This Islam that you have believed in, just let it go. And we will set you free, we will give you money, we will give you whatever you want. Bilal radiallahu anhu, all he would say in response to that is ahadun ahad, ahadun ahad. The one, the one, the one, the one. Some say at that time he didn't know much. He was a new Muslim, so he didn't know what to tell them. But the one thing that he knew was Allahu ahad, Allah is one. So he would just tell them that. Others mentioned that he would say this because it would make them even more angry. The more he would say this, the more upset they would get. Why are you continuously calling out to Allah? We're telling you to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an incident which is connected to this name of Allah ta'ala, Ahad. That Bilal radiallahu anhu used to say this, Ahadun Ahad, Ahadun Ahad. But later on you see what type of sharaf, what type of honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the same individual, that he made him the mu'addin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first mu'addin in Masjid al-Nabawi. And at the time of Fath Mecca, the conquest of Mecca, when it was time for Adhan to be called out in the Haram. This is the first time now in Mecca, after the Muslims have taken over, that Adhan is going to be called. Everyone is looking. Who is going to call the Adhan today? The Prophet ﷺ called Bilal radiallahu anhu, and he gave him the sharaf, the honor of calling Adhan. So he was the Muaddin both in Mecca Mukarramah as well as in Medina Munawwara in the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ahadun Ahad. So these are two beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, Ahad. And number two, Wahid. The one, Ahad, the one. And Wahid, the only. These are names that we should use in our du'as. Call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Ahad, Ya Wahid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis in our homes. You know, we can take out some time, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, gather the family, say, you know what, let's all go around and everyone mention one, two things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, over time, if we do this, you'll start to see how the love of Allah ta'ala will enter into our hearts. And when a person loves Allah ta'ala, then he will think 10 times before disobeying Allah. تَعْصِ الْإِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تَزْعُمُ حُبَّهُ هَذَا لَعَمْرِي فِي الْقِيَاسِ شَنِيعُ لَوْ كُنْتَ تَصْدُقُ حُبَّهُ لَأَطَعْتَهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. The poet beautifully says that you تَعْصِ الْإِلَهَ, you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَنْتَ تَزْعُمُ حُبَّهُ, yet you claim to love Allah. هَذَا لَعَمْرِي فِي الْقِيَاسِ شَنِيعُ. This doesn't make any sense. لَوْ كُنْتَ تَصْدُقُ حُبَّهُ, if you were truthful in your claim of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَأَطَعْتَ, you would obey Allah. فَإِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. For a person who loves another individual, he obeys that person. You love your mother, you obey her wishes. If you say, I love my mom, but your mother tells you to do something and you do the opposite, that's not true love, that's false love. So if you want to become obedient to Allah, we want it to become easy for us to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to inculcate within ourselves, within our children, the love for Allah Ta'ala, and that can be done by speaking about the greatness of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the understanding. Allahumma lakal hamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhik wa li 'azimi sultanik. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina 'adhaban nar. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. وصلى الله تعالى على النبي الكريم. جزاكم الله خيراً.